We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Welcome to the Solid Verbal.
The Solid Verbal.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
I've heard so many players say, well, I want to be happy. You want to be happy for a day? Eat a steak.
It's that woo woo!
And now, Dan and Ty.
Welcome back to the Solid Verbal, boys and girls. My name is Ty Hildebrandt. Joining me, as always, over there, and still blustery and snowy, Chicago, Illinois, Dan Rubenstein. Sir, how you doing?
I'm a little happier today. The sun is out. It's at least 30 degrees, which I'm told is tropical.
Wow,
so the
cool.
Drinks are flowing. The Beach Boys are playing. Got Pet Sounds in the background here. I'm all right. I'm doing well. It's been, a positive week of college football news and events. And we almost decided to record this show as an emergency podcast, but then we realized the actual follow through on the news we're going to talk about, it's going to be at least a year. So
yeah.
There's no real rush right now.
No need to come out and do the emergency podcast, but we do have a news story that we are going to address here that certainly rises to that level of importance.
Yes.
At least within our verballerhood. We will talk a little bit more about that in just a little bit. My guess is if you've seen the show title, you already know what we're going to discuss. But in the meantime, we have the second smaller part of National Signing Day to discuss. We've got a notable coach on the move, which we'll get into. Don't forget, if you don't already subscribe to the show, you can do so by going to solidverbal.com in the upper right-hand corner. Got a little drop down there for all y'all. You can find out how to subscribe to this here show twice a week, all throughout the offseason. If you're going out to verballers.com, which is our Patreon, we've got details there on some of the bonus content that we are due to start dropping this here month of February. Took a bit of a breather throughout the month of January after the national championship, gave ourselves a chance to just get into a nice zen state, Dan.
Yeah, it was cold tub January.
And now we're going into February refresh. My voice is back, and we've got all sorts of exciting things planned for the Verballerhood. Again, verballers.com is that Patreon address. Find us on social media. And while you're at solidverbal.com, subscribe and click to sign up for our newsletter, Daniel.
All good pieces of advice. So let's talk about signing day real quick, because technically this is signing day.
Correct.
And December's is early signing day. But early signing day has become signing day, and today has become adjacent signing day, if that makes any sense to you.
Do you miss the days of just one big old signing day?
Yes.
I kind of do.
I do, but I understand with the early enrollees and everything to get things out of the way to end the process. And it's unfortunate with coaches being fired and hired right in that same zone after conference championship weekend. Typically, obviously, the schedule was altered this past season, but it does come at a particularly hectic time for the sports. But I can see it from the point of view of players who want to get the process out of the way, especially those who are enrolling early and just don't want to drag it out for two more months after the high school football season ends.
For sure.
So I see both sides, but happy for everybody who is furthering their life with an opportunity to take a scholarship and run with it to college. It's great.
Did I see that Alabama now has the highest rated class ever?
You did. You did see that. And I don't know how much you want to parse the Alabama class, but it's a doozy.
There are
seven 5 stars?
7 5-stars, 15 4-stars.
Yes. The two best offensive tackles in the country. So nice little bookend. The best corner in the country. The second best receiver, and he's from Florida. And I just, you go through it, and it's like every single, it's the third best inside linebacker, the second best guard, the third best weak side defensive end. They hit Florida particularly hard, Texas really, really well, which I guess is sort of the impetus for making a change at UT because of the recruiting drop-off, schools like Alabama really moving into the state aggressively. And Alabama's recruiting, I don't know if it's nationally, but I mean, an all-time running back of theirs, Najee Harris, is from California. So an all-time quarterback's from Hawaii. Alabama's that national brand that can do this type of thing. And so I guess good for them. Their quarterback wasn't a top quarterback. He was only the fourth highest rated dual threat quarterback.
Okay.
13th in the state of Texas. So yeah, there's that. And yeah, I mean, it's the usual suspects at the top after all has been said and done. It's been interesting to see some of the new coaches close in interesting ways. I saw Auburn and Brian Harsin had a nice day, and I've had a nice few days in terms of both transfers and commitments. Oregon has finished pretty strong. A&M looks like they're going to be finishing strong. Notre Dame finishes with the top 10 class. USC finished strong. They flipped a linebacker from LSU, Rajon Davis, I think is how his first name is pronounced. There's an SJ combination that I'm not bright enough to know exactly how that goes. But Michigan finished strong, had a couple flips, especially from, I think, Michigan State. They had flips, so they finished with a top 10 class after losing some key guys to late flips in the process. So yeah, I think the impressive thing in terms of when you look at, you know, the top 25 teams that aren't always there, Iowa did a pretty good job. They finished with a top 25 class. It looks like 7 4-stars for Iowa. That's not always the case.
No. Wow. That's great.
Nebraska, coming off the season that they came off of, finished with a top 20 class with 4 4-stars. Ole Miss, I mean, Lane Kiffin has long been a very good recruiter there. They finish in the top 20. Maryland, not a huge surprise, but they finish with 4 4-stars and a 5-star. So, you know, if nothing else, Mike Locksley knows the DMV. Jewel of that class is Terrence Lewis, a linebacker from the Miami area. Elsewhere, that is just not always, you know, Wisconsin finishes with a top 15 class, 6 blue chip players committed. And otherwise, it's teams we expect to see. USC with that big bounce back after they struggled like crazy last year and had to go out and I think they hired Oregon's best recruiter to improve things. And it worked, back in the top 10.
Yeah, to round out the top 10 here, just in case you're playing along at home, wondering what are your rankings, what are your top 10? Alabama 1, Ohio State 2, Georgia 3. No surprises really throughout this top 10. LSU, right. Clemson at 5, Oregon at 6, had a really good class, a bunch of 4-stars.
Yeah.
A&M, USC, Notre Dame, and Michigan round out the top 10. My question, I guess, about the Alabama class is, if you took this incoming class and found a way to field 11 guys on offense, 11 guys on defense, guys playing both ways in some instances.
Yeah, I'm seeing 26 commitments right now.
How many teams would they beat?
Oh, so like you had to start an inside linebacker at defensive end or something to make...
Right. Some guys are playing out of position, but no doubt they're athletes among those in that class. What would their record be if they just started with that true freshman incoming class and played against their normal schedule? How would they do?
The distribution's actually pretty good.
It's really good, right?
So I'm seeing quarterback, running back, 5 receivers, 5 offensive linemen, so you can pick your alignment there. It doesn't look like they took a tight end, if that means something to you with this exercise. 6 defensive linemen, 3 linebackers, and 4 defensive backs. So you're actually going to be able to field.
Okay, so you
pretty
can.
Solid team.
Some guys out of position, but maybe not as much as you would think.
So are they getting a full spring and summer workout and fall camp?
Yes.
To prepare themselves for this exercise that you've created out of thin air?
Yes.
They would be probably, as true freshmen, I don't know, 45, 50 FBS schools?
I'm wondering, what would they do to the schedule? Would they beat Miami? They could beat Miami.
Wait, you think a team primarily of true freshmen with zero game time is beating the Miami Hurricanes?
Why not?
But Miami has older players who have played in many college football games, including presumably a Heisman candidate quarterback who's going to be playing against high schoolers?
That's correct. Here's the Bama schedule. Here's the Bama schedule.
What's that was one of the most outlandish things you've ever said.
That's fine. Miami.
I love it.
Miami, Mercer at Florida, Southern Miss, Ole Miss, at A&M, at Mississippi State, Tennessee, LSU, New Mexico State, Arkansas, and closing out the year on the road at Auburn. I'm telling you right now, they're beating more than just Mercer and New Mexico State and Southern Miss. So that's three wins guaranteed. You think, how many wins do they get? They get to 6-6?
I don't know. I mean, okay. So what? Let me pull up their schedule once again. This is such a ridiculous exercise. This takes the could Alabama beat like the old Browns to unforeseen lows.
That is the inspiration for this, if I'm being honest here.
No, I understand. 2021 Alabama schedule. I'm looking it up right now just so I have it visually in front of me. Okay. They're going to lose at Florida. They're going to lose to Ole Miss, who is a very good quarterback, and Matt Corral. They're going to lose at Texas A&M. I don't know what the quarterback situation looks like at Mississippi State, but that's an improved defense that will give a true freshman quarterback all sorts of trouble, and they'll probably lose that game. Tennessee is thin, but I imagine, I don't know who's starting at quarterback for Tennessee. I know they brought in Hendon Hooker. I don't know his eligibility right now.
They are definitely getting to bowl eligibility.
Are they beating LSU? Are they winning at Auburn? Are they beating Arkansas? Is Arkansas the one game you've circled?
They beat
Arkansas.
This
is actually a pretty tough.
They beat Arkansas. I think they beat
52-3. And so they beat them last year. You see no experience Alabama true freshman as a whole taking down.
Best class ever as a whole. Need to get
best
that.
Best class ever. I hear you. I hear you.
I'm going to set bowl eligibility as my over-under.
I don't think they'd be bowl eligible. I don't think they're. I can't defend a clear win in the SEC.
Okay. I'm not sure I can either. We haven't seen any
we
of these guys play.
Yeah, give me your full evaluation of Tommy Brockmeyer.
No. We're not going to. That's not what we do here. Okay.
Okay.
If you came for that level of analysis, please turn back.
Yeah.
But I think it's an interesting question. So we'll pose it to the Verballerhood. Call me crazy, but I'll say bowl eligibility.
You proposing Alabama high schoolers beating Miami took my breath away, Ty. Congratulations.
That's great. SolidVerbal@gmail.com. Any other recruiting news here that you want to discuss?
Number one player in the country is, I'm not going to say this is a Bryce Brown situation or Terrell Pryor situation. Obviously, everybody in terms of recruiting, their lives were made far more difficult in terms of visiting schools. But the guy's name is, and he's from, depending on who you believe in terms of rankings, the number 1, 2, 3 overall player in the class. His name is JT Tuimalu. He's from Washington, the state of Washington, and looks like he's down to Ohio State and Alabama and maybe Oregon, just given, I think Oregon's his West Coast leader. And so if he stays close to home, I suppose he could be going to Oregon. And he has long been rumored to be going to Ohio State. And then Alabama came on, as far as I can tell, as far as I can read the tea leaves. So I don't know how much time he's actually spent at Ohio State and Alabama, though. I think that's what he's putting off his commitment for, to try and see those places.
Okay.
So we'll have a delayed commitment. He has to commit, I think, before April or something, when he'd need to sign some sort of piece of paper, financial aid statement. And that's cool. Hope it ends up well for Mr. Tuimalu.
I would expect we are going to see an incredible number of transfers.
Sure.
Particularly in this class, because of the way that they had to recruit. Couldn't visit campus. A lot of Zoom calls, right? Like that's not the optimal way to figure out if you're going to like living on campus in the wintertime of any of these schools for that matter. So we'll see. I don't know. I would expect that we would see an influx after the 2021 season.
Yeah. And again, at the top, it's who you'd expect. We talked about this with Brandon Huffman. By the way, Brandon Huffman, I think, is the point person, and as much as a reporter can be, on the recruitment of JT Tuamalu. So, you know, being in the Northwest himself. So that's somebody, if you're already not following Brandon and you're interested in that recruitment, I suggest you do so. So that is as much detail as we can go into about the class of 2021. And these schools, I'm sure, are furiously on to 2022 and 2023. And beyond, because that's how it works.
The other news, it's not really a recruiting story, Dan, but I guess on some level it kind of is whenever you talk about coaches moving around. Will Muschamp going to Georgia?
Yes. Mere weeks after Georgia was like, no, that's not a thing that's happening.
What is he going to be doing at Georgia?
He's a defensive analyst. He's helping out on the defensive side of the ball. He's not going to be an official on-field coach, I guess, because they have two defensive co-coordinators and he's not a position coach, and they're bringing him. He's gonna be making, it looks like, quite a bit more money than your typical analyst. I think rumored salary for Coach Boom here is $300K. usually analysts make about 40-50K, something like that, and I assume Georgia's trying to get as many smart people with all the money that they have into that program. And I know, you know, Will Muschamp went to Georgia. Athens looks like it's a terrific place to live. And so maybe this is his gap year. His, you know, take a year, relax, don't feel the pressures of recruiting and media and everything like that. Close with Kirby Smart. And I imagine the Georgia defense is going to be better for it.
Let's get to the news. Still not yelling it. You all know why at this point.
Boop, 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 breaking news. Boop, 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 boop.
I was sitting down for lunch yesterday, East Coast time. You were an hour behind me. I don't know if you were eating lunch at that point in time. Around 12:30.
No, I ate a later lunch because of my dumb intermittent fasting that I actually like a lot.
So I feel like it was around 12:30, somewhere around there. You sent to me on the super secret Slack a tweet from a new account, EA Sports College, since been verified with the blue check. For those that never stop believing, we see a graphic here, hashtag EA Sports College Football. Little graphic that says college football is coming back, Dan.
I'm back, baby.
They are bringing the game back after all these years. The last time they put a game out, it was the calendar year 2013. Yep. What are you playing? What is this?
Ty. Okay, I can't play too much more. We don't own the copyright.
Have the license for that.
No. Just a few seconds. Okay. That's a moment like this.
It has been damn near a decade since we had a new video game. It could still be a full decade by the time we get one, but
yeah,
we'll get to the details momentarily. Alas, the mere commitment here from our friends over at EA Sports to make a new video game, yeah, that's been making some waves. Instantly, our Discord on the super secret Verballer side, which you can find again, verballers.com for our Patreon subscribers, exploded. Everyone pasting this very tweet into the Discord server. We go out on the interwebs. We look on the Twitter sphere. Everybody instantly in college football media talking about the fact that there is going to be a new video game. Now, in and of itself, a new video game comes out, it's not really that big of a deal. It happens all the time. This one, though, this one, of course, carries a lot more weight. We remember the circumstances under which they stopped making this game because of, in part, the Ed O'Bannon lawsuit and player likenesses being incorporated into the game, not officially, but kind of semi-officially. There was a whole maze of legal trouble that EA Sports found itself in with this old game. They decided they were going to stop making it. I don't blame them. But now this renewed commitment to make the game after all these years, there's still a passionate following for it. I know that firsthand because I've been streaming the old version of the video game, NCAA 14, out on our Twitch channel at twitch.tv/solidverbal. Obviously, I'll have to do more of that now.
Mm-hmm.
they have decided to tap back into that fan base, Dan, and to bring the game back. Details are scant.
Good scant usage. Yeah.
But we're going to get the game again at some point in our natural lives, Dan. And that in and of itself is very, very exciting. Do you not agree?
It is. I for sure agree. I love playing that game. I haven't played it in a while, but when I did play, I loved playing it. And I am eager to see what a new version of the game looks like. Now, let's dive in. As you mentioned, details are scant at this time. First thing that jumped out to me, it says EA Sports College Football, not NCAA football. I think it's not an accident. They haven't just like, college is a cooler word. That's not an accident. So my question now is the most important one. Is this a college football game in the way that there is generic pageantry and there are marching bands and there are wacky mascots, but not necessarily licensed for specific schools, specific programs, specific uniforms, specific styles of stadiums, things of that nature? Could we have was the original Tecmo Bowl? It was like Buffalo, not the Bills, Buffalo, Los Angeles, not the Raiders, Los Angeles. Did you ever play Bases Loaded?
Of course I played Bases Loaded.
There were specific names. There were Hawaii and Jersey, and I think there was an Omaha team, but it was like they had made up names like a Brutus and a Bopper. I'm almost positive there was a Bopper involved. Okay, I'm on the Wikipedia page. Jersey boasts the most explosive offense in the game, anchored by Paste. Okay. So the question then remains is, are we getting the Tuscaloosa team? Are we getting the Eugene team? The South Bend Shamrocks? That's pretty good. That's pretty quick.
That was good.
End.
You had written in Tuscaloosa Tusks.
Tuscaloosa Tusks, I thought of ahead of time.
That's good.
The Eugene Mallards. You know, you can come up, you can get kind of creative with non-copyrighted team names and vague uniform color combinations. I don't know how all that licensing
works. This is your
works.
Audition for that job, I believe.
I mean, do you want to go the Minneapolis Rodents or Shimmering Rodents? the Madison Muskrats. The Iowa City Eagle Beaks.
Right. This is cutting edge audio here, but I think
it's cutting edge. But okay, so the point remains.
Sure.
Is it a generic college experience or is it a licensed experience? Because that's a big deal. That yes, you can still recruit and create a player and build a dynasty and have a coach that you design after yourself and do all these things. But if Alabama's running or the Tuscaloosa Tusks are running the option and the Los Angeles Romans or Greeks or whatever are running, a power running attack, like if it's not representative in name and in style of modern college football, how do we feel about it?
I think it will be licensed.
Okay.
I think so too. I think it will be licensed. I think to come out with this kind of fanfare to create the new Twitter account, they're not doing that so that they can do the Tuscaloosa Tusks. So I think there will be an element of licensing to it. The real question is the players.
Sure.
The players. And that's where everyone's eye is drawn because that's why the game stopped being made in the first place. The tie-in with actual players and what that means and what is supposedly, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, an amateur sport. Now,
right. So do you think that they've negotiated with the conferences instead of the NCAA? That kind of thing, maybe?
I don't know.
So they don't use the NCAA? Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. But I'm not as turned off by that college football name as I think I was initially because I brought that up to you. Like, this is an interesting twist here that they would change the name of it. I do think that eventually the name, image, and likeness legislation is going to get through, and that will open up the floodgates on using actual player names. I do think, though, that we don't fully know timelines here, right? They could potentially put a game out next summer, and NIL is not going to be far enough along that it facilitates putting players in the game. Now, we're in a different spot now than we were back in 2013, the last time they released a game. You can build a game almost completely separately. You could back then, but you can do so even to a greater degree now. You can build a game, technically speaking, completely separate from the players and the content within the game, because everyone's connected to the internet now. And you just turn on your system, it beams it up to the cloud, it pulls it all down, and suddenly you've got a different game experience, entirely different game experience. So I think they can build this in a way where even if you don't have actual players or actual stuff in the game that is representative of an authentic experience, you can build the game in a way that the folks on the other end can flip a switch whenever it's safe to do so, and bam, your content's going to be updated. You will have the authentic experience. So I think this gives them the latitude to build the game they want to build, and they can do so in a manner that keeps them safe from a legal standpoint and also future-proofs it to some extent to put the actual authentic experience in the game at a moment's notice.
Do you think they'll continue to let people modify names and positions and all that fun stuff?
Now, I don't remember the full details of the court cases the first time around, but I seem to recall it wasn't so much geared around the fact that you could mod a roster to be a pretty close sample of your teams.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was the fact that they proved in the court of law having the announcers say all of the last names and associate those with any modifications. Whoops. That showed some amount of intent to like skirt the rules. And so maybe they just don't do that part of it. Maybe they don't get Brad Nessler or Kirk Herbstreit or Chris Fowler to say Uyangalale.
Yeah. And, it's hard to mask that one. Yeah.
Right. Like you had that the last time around. And I guess that wasn't honky dory.
Well, like, and clearly, specifically, Ed O'Bannon was in a video game.
Right. Exactly.
In like a classics NCAA basketball of some year. Yeah.
But a lot of these games now, you can still do the create a player thing.
Mm-hmm.
They just may not say their name. I don't think there's any reason that I know of that you couldn't put custom guys in the game and play with them. And I'm sure it would take a lot of work, but my guess is that there are still some ways around that rule, even if it's not officially official that you can roll with the actual rosters.
Selfishly, do you want this to be a tear it down to the studs, fully renovated NCAA college football, it's college, whatever, college football, EA Sports college football experience? Or do you want them to build upon the 2014 game with just, you know, if you're playing it on PS5 or whatever the new Xbox is, updating engines to build upon the new technology that EA has access to? Do you want it? Does it need a big overhaul in terms of how the game plays and feels? I know people are pretty split, as far as I can tell from afar, on how Madden plays, and it's obviously a different engine. What do you want to see in terms of what the game is itself?
Yeah, it's a good question. And like I said, I've been just for fun streaming versions of the old game, streaming a dynasty of the old game out on the Twitch channel. But one of the things that I found after picking it up after all these years is that it holds up pretty well. There are a lot of games that don't.
Yeah.
This one does. There are quirks, right? There are guys who run through other players and drop passes and weird penalties and like stuff that you find in a lot of video games that they just couldn't.
There are always tweaks to be made.
Yeah, they couldn't patch it back then the way they can now because, again, everything's connected to the internet. But I think the game holds up really well. Now, that being said, I have played the newer versions of Madden.
Yeah.
And my biggest takeaway, the reasons that I stopped playing those games, is selfishly, there are too many freaking buttons.
Yeah,
too many controls. Aggressive catch, triangle. Conservative catch, circle. Normal sidebar. Catch and fall down, X.
Sidebar, Ty and I, we're a combined something like 76 years old at this point. So we have our ceilings.
We do. And we're both technically inclined. So it's not like this is information overload that we can't process it, that we can't understand it. But you reach a certain point where it's like, oh, okay. Okay. Like,
right.
Can I just hit the corresponding shape of the open receiver and expect him to do the work for me?
You're asking for a slower old person mode that you can run when you first install the game.
I guess I am.
I would love that. That's my sincere desire. that there are different difficulty levels, not of how hard your opponent is, but how difficult the gameplay is. That I would love.
Yeah, it's really hard for me to say that and at the same time be somebody who is super competitive and right. wants to go online and wants to play the best possible people and see how I do. And knowing that the one or four button mode is probably not going to suffice anymore.
Right.
So that was my biggest gripe with the Madden stuff. But beyond that, the graphics, the gameplay, mm-hmm. everything about the newer versions is super cool. It's just, for me, the controls got so friggin' difficult and complex that it took a little bit of the luster off of it for me.
I'd like to see, I mean, there are some obvious tweaks, improvements, redos from 2014, just in terms of where the game has come these last, is it 7 years? Because 2014 was released in 2013, right?
Right, right.
So 7-8 years since the last version, RPOs are a major thing in college football, not so much in the NCAA football series. Curious to see how that works out. There have been uniform changes, stadium changes, style changes, teams that were very strong then, not so strong now. And obviously some of that stuff can be modified in the rosters and, you know, recruiting. Do you want more of the administrative stuff? Because I had a stretch where I really liked the building a dynasty and recruiting. And I don't know now that I will have the time to devote to sitting on my couch for 45 minutes and recruiting. I think I'm skewing much more towards playing my friends online and maybe going through a season with a team or two, but not fully devoting myself to the from start to finish program building.
Well, there are a couple things that I would point out on that.
But that's a me thing.
Yeah. There are a couple things that I point out. Instantly upon hearing this news that there's going to be a new game, everybody and their uncle rushes to Twitter and posts what they want to see in the new games. And of course, you have people like, oh, we need to have the unruly boosters or sanctions. Right. They're not going to put that in the game.
Right. Transfer portal's interesting.
The transfer portal was in the last game. Maybe not with quite
the transfer.
Yeah, with quite the pomp and circumstance like
we have now. Grad transfers, immediate eligibility, yeah.
They could do a whole bunch of stuff there. But if you think for 1 second that they've waited nearly a decade to build a new game and they're going to put illegal boosters in this one, I don't think so. It cuts a little too close to the bone and no.
Unless it's unlicensed.
Well, if it's unlicensed, then they could do whatever they want.
But, Wild Wild West, yeah.
But I don't expect we're going to be seeing $100 handshakes as part of,
right.
part
no,
of this
I think
new,
that's all tongue in cheek. Yeah.
This new system, this new game. I think that the administrative side of it is interesting. And if history is any guide, they give you the option to play some of those modes if you want to. You can switch on some of that stuff. But I think I agree with you to the extent of, like, do you really want to play as an athletic director?
Mm-hmm.
Do you really want to worry about hiring a social media staff? That sort of stuff.
And some people do.
Some people do.
There was that one-year NFL coach game that EA put out, right?
I just don't... I don't know if that encompasses the vast majority of people who would play this game.
Of course not. Of course not.
I think the real lift would be on the recruiting side. And I take your point. You don't want to spend 45 minutes recruiting. You wouldn't necessarily have to if they made it a little bit smarter than it was the first time. But recruiting, in my view, was really the secret sauce of that old game. You know, your ability to kind of craft a team and work around certain pitches and advantages that your school had. I think you could really beef up the recruiting. That was kind of the game within the game.
Ty, what's wrong? Ty. Kate, I just lost Jeremy Johnson to Georgia Tech, and I do not want to talk about it. I tried to sell him on early playing time, and it's not what he wanted, and everything is bad. Sorry.
They definitely need to build in some, like, restrictor plate thing so that all your guys don't get to 99s. Because that was the thing with the old series. And look, I'm playing right now as Navy. My team sucks. But if you give it like 3 years, I'm going to have a team full of 95
right.
rated players.
I mean, you're so charming and so such a good developer of talent that
exactly.
it's inevitable.
Exactly. We're going to switch it up to the air raid and you know, it's going to be a team of 90s. That will happen. So they need to throttle that back a little bit. To answer your question, I would be cool if they put a little bit more thought into the recruiting side of things, and if they allowed us to play a very similar game to what we saw last time, but with a 2021 or 2022 spin on it. The other thing I want to add when it comes to game modes is something that did not get a whole lot of fanfare the last time around that would definitely be highlighted in whatever new version they put into effect here. They've since put a lot of time and energy into Ultimate Team Mode. All right, what Ultimate Team Mode is, as I've come to understand it through my terrible FIFA playing, is it's a mode where you can basically build your own team. And you complete objectives. If you want to throw money at it, you can. Most of us...
Like real money, right? Like real money. American dollars, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I don't generally, but a lot of people do.
Generally? Uh-oh.
I've been known to here and there. Not that often.
How much of your entertainment budget
spent on digital soccer players?
Okay.
I didn't go golfing at all this year, so we threw a little bit of that at this.
Fair enough.
The point here is that you can do things to earn coins in a game, and then you could dedicate some of those coins to improving your team and building up a roster. This was actually in that old version of the NCAA series. I didn't know about it then because I was playing an online dynasty with my friends.
Mm-hmm.
Other single guys in their 20s at the time. This was like the thing to do. But now they've got this mode where it wouldn't necessarily require you to do the recruiting if you didn't want to. My guess is they would have to retain that online dynasty because it was a hit. But there was also this ultimate team angle that they've played up with Madden and with FIFA and some other titles where that would be the engine that earns them the money. You know, we may not have current players that we could fall back on, might not be able to get Tyler Buckner.
Alex Henry. Alex Henry is what you need. Late era 2000s Nebraska kicker with a boot.
But, you could complete a couple objectives.
Yeah.
And if you save up enough coins, maybe you could buy Mason Rudolph for your team.
Right.
Stuff like that. Bring old players and some iconic college football stars back into the game. I think we'll see that out of an ultimate team mode because I know that they can earn money off that.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside. Repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
If this game comes out, let's call it August of 2022. August of 2023, presumably next gen consoles will be less than they are now. I'm seeing if you want to buy a PS5 right now on the secondary market, you're paying more than $700.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Retail is either $400 or $500 based on digital or disc models. Is this the presence of this game? And let's say it scratches you where you itch in terms of licensing teams and players and has the feel of the old game to a relatively reasonable extent. Are you shelling out $500 or $600 for PS5? Or what's it? It's a Series X is the new Xbox?
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
That sounds right. Okay. Something like that. Are you spending that much money? I know you like FIFA, but basically for the right to play FIFA and EA Sports College Football, are you making that investment? Ty, without children, keep in mind.
I think it's pretty apparent from a lot of what I've said that I've got a lot of knowledge and passion around this topic.
Yeah, of course.
So I will wait till the PS5 is a little more readily available.
You're a PlayStation guy, though.
I'm
as
PlayStation
opposed to
guy.
Xbox. Okay, same.
I'm a PlayStation guy. But I will wait till it's a little bit more available. It's easy for me to say, yes, I'll buy it because I don't have kids. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's just the solid wife and I. So for me, it's not as big a lift as it might be for some folks out there who I know are, you know, played the game. They're in their 40s now. They've got a family and other responsibilities. I mean,
they'll
I fall into
ways.
That category.
They'll find ways.
They Sleep will find ways. I think this is a draw for that demo, to be perfectly honest with you. May have put the old video game system away. Like, where are you at? Have you played PlayStation recently? Would you play
No.
PlayStation if you found out that you could get your hands on this?
The big thing for me is because I liked playing random people online and making them quit. Not that I was amazing, but I was okay. And that was always fun, getting people annoyed, then getting that PlayStation message
yeah,
afterwards.
<right.
laughs> You know what you're doing. Just beat them 28-3. I like playing with people in person. And that's trickier now that I've moved around. I've globetrotted a little bit. I don't necessarily know if I have somebody I want to play NCAA football with on the same couch right now. Shout out to Jody. She's great, but not a gamer. So I used to play with my brother all the time in Brooklyn. He was very fun to play against. He went to Washington. He played as, you know, the Huskies. I played as the Ducks. It was really fun. And so we would play all the time together. And obviously that was, you know, before having a little guy in the household. So I'm not going to say for sure that I'm going to get it. But once I see gameplay, once I see the architecture of the game in terms of real teams, all that kind of stuff, I think it's likely that I'm going to get it because you need splurges in life, Ty. You need weird solo hobbies in life. And I can play against you. I can play against the Verballers who are part of our Patreon team. I can do all that kind of fun stuff. So I'm going to say probably is where I'll leave it.
I think it's a interesting draw. It's a reason for a lot of folks who might otherwise be out of it to at least consider it. But
yeah,
it's not cheap. And it's too heavy a lift for a lot of folks. I certainly get that, but there's a draw here. And it's a game with a cult following still. So, okay. I think we're like-minded here. We're both pretty excited about this. We don't really have much in the way of details around timing. We don't know when this is going to come out. So we've seen some articles written. The Athletic went all in for what it's worth on EA Sports College Football articles. A friend, Nicole Auerbach, wrote about it. There were Ari Wasserman, who we had on the live stream, talked about how he'd like to see recruiting overhauled. They really went all in on this, and which is cool. Cool to see, but we still don't know a timeline for it. The name, image, and likeness bit of this is going to get asked, I would imagine, 1,000 times over between now and whatever they decide to release this game. But
sure.
We have shows that we will do this offseason about NIL legislation, but NIL essentially unlocks players from that previous like system where they couldn't earn anything off of their name, couldn't do any marketing.
Right.
We did talk about this a little bit and said that, well, it seems like the easiest way to perhaps go about earning something off your name would be Instagram posts. Right. Like you got a big social media following, Instagram posts, you could earn some money off that. But now this is a bit of a Pandora's box. How do the players ultimately earn anything off of this? I think you start wading into players association territory or
somebody's going to have to negotiate on their behalf. Yeah.
Some organizing body that would have to organize on their behalf and collect and figure out what their cut of the royalties would be. So even if NIL gets passed, I don't think EA Sports would want to be in the position of having to negotiate with individual players every year. They would need to go through some governing body in order to do that. And I don't know when NIL happens. I think it's going to happen soon. But to get that organizational structure that could then in turn negotiate with an EA Sports, that strikes me as something that's going to take a while. So I think we're very likely to see a game before we're going to see actual players, current players in the game. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I do agree. And I also think they're not going to make the game as obviously based on current players. Like if there were an NCAA 2021 that came out last year, Clemson's quarterback would not have been Tyler Loggins with a long, shaggy haircut at 6'6 with a giant arm and NFL prospects. I think it will be disguised a little bit more if it's sort of still based on how it was based last time around.
You don't need to put names on the guys.
I guess not. You can just go by numbers.
Go the QB Eagles route.
What type of player are you in terms of playbook strategy? Are you big on reading a defense and calling a bunch of audibles and using motion to try to disguise? Are you a big, I have my script, plays I like to follow up other plays with? Do you adhere to certain sensibilities on either side of the ball as a player, or are you giving away too much by answering this question accurately?
I'm giving away a little too much, but I'm going to do it because we're all friends here.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't think I'm very good, to be honest.
It's difficult to be very good at this game. You have to play it a lot.
I have watched YouTube videos of guys who will tell you how to set up your defense or how to set up your offense based on a defense. And it strikes me as even more complicated than the real thing. Mm-hmm. With buttons and hot routes, and that's a little much for me. You have to spend a lot more time than I'm willing to spend to get to that point. I like to pass. I like to pass. And so I've gotten at least better in the old version of the game at figuring out, after I snap the ball, who I can throw to, who should be open. Now, with my current Navy setup, nobody can get open because my tight end's like a 59 overall. My guys are terrible. They all drop their passes.
You got four tough Borlands going out for passes.
They're not creating a whole lot of separation. The fastest guy's got like 80 speed.
Right.
But I think I can, in general, read a defense and figure out where man coverage is and who's going to be open in a zone, in a hole in the zone. That I can do. What I can't really do is play defense.
It's tough.
I just, defense is not really something I enjoy a whole lot of. I guess I could sim it. I try not to play it honest. But
who will you select on a defense to play as? Which position?
Well, I used to select back in the real heydays when you can just blast through the offensive line. I used to pick one of the DNs.
Okay.
And do like a little swim move, a little shimmy, something to get around one of those tackles, then go and sack the quarterback. But then at some point I switched up to being a middle linebacker.
Mm-hmm.
Gives
me
a little bit more control. That usually backfires because the middle linebacker can't just blitz every down. A lot of times he's got to drop into coverage and he's got responsibilities in the passing game. And I never really fulfill those. So there's always a guy open, and when you play at the higher difficulty levels, they find those guys.
Do you have a preferred alignment? Do you have a preferred base on defense, even though you're not good at it?
Well, I'm usually a 4-3 defense, but usually playing out of the nickel because you have
to play out of the nickel myself.
Got to play out of nickel. You know, some of the better guys like to play as a safety.
I'm sure.
They like to bring the safety
down. Play some center field. Yeah.
Play center field. Again, too many responsibilities in the passing game.
Yeah.
And I'm just not good enough as a manual defender to embark upon that. So yeah, defense is not my strength. The controls in the newer games that I've played have been a real issue. And so we'll see what this new game looks like and how closely it mirrors some of the newer versions of Madden. My guess is it's going to be a lot like Madden. That would be dumb not to be. But we'll see.
And you think like at that difficulty level?
I think so. I think it'll be very close to the current versions of Madden.
They don't still do the passing cone, do they?
No, there's no more passing cone thing.
Okay. Oh, I saw that and I was like, well, I'm done with Madden. I tried it once. I was like, nope, not doing this. Not going to learn how to do this. Don't want to do what it takes to be comfortable with this. Thank you very much, Madden. I'm good.
The passing cone was a dark era. We try to forget that as best we can.
I'll operate out of nickel. I'll try to find blitz packages that send different guys from different angles. I try to be mysterious with my blitzing.
Do you see ghosts as a quarterback?
I do see ghosts. I don't see ghosts as much as I stare down guys far too much. You find a couple of route combinations and a couple audibles, and you tend to always just like, well, this guy's going to be open much more often than not. You get yourself into trouble. At least I get myself into trouble. I get cocky staring down receivers.
Four verts. Are you a four verts guy?
I am. I will run some four verts and call some audibles with where guys are going. You mess around with some crossers and, you know, if you have a pretty speedy roster, you can do a good amount of damage. If a team likes playing a little bit too much man with running a bunch of crossers, the unguardable running back route where he sort of flares out and then cuts back in real quick.
Always good
on a third and four.
Yeah, yeah.
It's almost unstoppable because you're either getting an outside linebacker in man coverage or you're getting an inside linebacker who just is not covering a zone all that well. So that's always fun. And I try not to run too much. I'll run a lot of outside zone just because it's relatively successful. At least it was in 2014, running with a team like Oregon who was running pretty well back then. Otherwise, the really fun thing about playing, and I don't know how often you played like your friend Feldman or East Coast Elliott or any of these guys, I don't know how often you played them specifically. I liked playing my brother a lot because I would learn his tendencies. I would learn that I could just drop back in quarters on a third and long, and he really struggled. I learned that if I have a different disguise for cover two earlier on in passing downs, earlier on in drives, he'd have some struggles. When you get the tendencies, that's what's really fun. When you just have your roster of like, okay, these are my seven beaters right here. I like that.
Yeah, they would have to make sure that they pull some kind of online dynasty mode back in. If they could find a way to mesh the recruiting bit of it with the ultimate team bit of it, that would be pretty cool.
Sure.
You know, there's just so much more that they could do in this new era of the game. I think they have to steer into, though, playing with your friends. Playing with your friends was kind of like a guiding precept of the old one. We had a huge online dynasty. Again, a bunch of single guys in their 20s. And me, kept the spreadsheet of who played whom, kept the scores. And then I would try to see if I could guess what the point spread would be. And there may have been some money changing hands on some of these games. Because we had about...
Of course.
Okay, I mean, there has to be. We had like seven or eight guys that were in on this at one point. And my friend Feldman was the 10,000-pound gorilla in the room. No one could beat Feldman.
Who did he play as?
He played as... Well, it didn't matter, right?
He had his system.
Eventually, after you played a certain number of years and won like 10 games a year, you would have all 90. So it didn't really matter. His system was much more of a pro style, to be honest with you.
Interesting.
Was more Wisconsin than I would say Texas Tech.
Okay. Do you have a team that you played with at some point in the last, I guess, 20 years now, that you felt you were particularly dominant with? This year's this team. Is there that roster, that team?
Well, again, I'll go back to the online dynasty. There was one player in particular that we still speak about Leon Johnson in hushed, revered tones.
Okay.
On text threads with my friends. Leon Johnson, dual threat quarterback, played for the Penn State Nittany Lions when I was commandeering the...
Did you recruit him?
I did recruit him. Started him as a true freshman. And he was
Where did he go to fake high school?
I don't remember.
Ah, it's too bad.
I don't remember where
taller we guy, that. Smaller, faster.
Yeah, he's about 6'4". About 6'4", about 225, had wheels, could run, Whoa. Was a bull. More of a Jalen Hurts type where he would run you over as opposed to a jitterbug back there who would try and put moves on you.
Interesting.
He would bull you over for that first down. And Leon and I had 4 good years.
What version of the game was this?
I think this would have to have been 2013. Yeah.
2013? Okay.
Yeah, released in 2013, but NCAA 14, so the latest version.
I remember essentially forcing one of my college roommates into submission who refused to play me NCAA 2003, 2004, somewhere in there, which every year featured a USC team with Matt Leinart, quote unquote Matt Leinart, quote unquote Mike Williams, who you could just send on go routes and he's giant. And I want to say Steve Smith was on that team. There was an unreal, is this pre-Reggie Bush? Possibly. We might be talking about Herschel Dennis in one of his 11 years for USC. But the passing attack there where you want to defend the deeper ball against Mike Williams, I'll run slants with Steve Smith and I'll be thrilled to do so. You're going to back off of Mike Williams a little bit. I'm going to throw him a quick little screen and have him run you over or just grab an easy 8.5. That to me was an all-time fun team to play with in that game that I was eventually banned from playing with USC.
Yeah, right.
So that was particularly fun because Matt Leinart was especially accurate in that game. I think that was, he was either a sophomore or a junior then. So that was my Norm Chow, Dan Rubenstein mind meld come to life.
Let me ask you a very important question.
Mm-hmm.
Mindful of the fact that whenever they release this, and again, I have no idea, but let's just say 2022, summer of 2022, it comes out.
Sure.
At that point in time, we don't have real players in the game, so they can't put a real player on the cover. But they have to put some real player on the cover. Somebody.
Are we talking about a licensed game?
We're talking about a licensed game.
Okay.
No players, but they can have schools and conferences and the playoff and all that stuff in it, which would be cool, right? To have the playoff in a game, that'll be neat. Who is on the cover of that game? This is the re-release. So
can it be a former player who they pay for his likeness?
Absolutely. It can be a former player. I'm guessing they'll be able to cut deals with some of those guys. But who should be on the cover? Not a current player.
Right.
But the re-release of a very popular game series.
I mean, it's pretty obviously Matt McGloin, right?
It could be.
Who is that player? It's probably somebody like Joe Burrow, who is just out of luck in terms of getting on the... Usually these are players who have just turned pros or exhausted their eligibility and gone pro. So, yeah, I could see Joe Burrow. I could see...
Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah, a person like that is recent enough to sort of sing out that this is a new version of the game. They could sort of... straddle the fence and go with just like a map of the United States with a bunch of college football flags or the college football playoff trophy or
Bill Hancock.
Just like almost like an old Star Wars movie poster where there's just a bunch of mascots and guys playing the sousaphone and, you know, a bunch of college football traditional totems and landmarks and like, hey, it's all here. It's all back.
I
could see that kind of thing as well.
I like your idea. Yeah, I don't know who goes on the cover. My first thought was Trevor Lawrence, but, you know, college football has a deep, rich history. They could probably put a bunch of guys on from the last decade, maybe who didn't get their fair share of being in the game. That would be cool.
Well, here's what you missed.
Right. What I think would be super cool, and I know they won't do this because this would require time that they're almost certainly not willing to put in.
Mm-hmm.
Digitized versions of some of these college football memes that we've had over the last decade.
I posted that. I tweeted some of that stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, the shirtless guy at the Florida State game.
NC State, yeah.
Yeah, like some
of the... Oh, you're talking about the older guy in the stands.
The older guy in the stands. I'm not talking about the NC State guy on the flagpole or whatever that thing was.
Okay. Yeah.
But some of those meme-y moments from the past decade would be fun.
In one of the editions of the game, there was definitely an introduction. Like, as soon as you turn the game on, there's a bunch of shots of crazed fans. So they have broached that element of the sport. They weren't memes, but it was just like, hey, here's a crowd shot in Norman and a crowd shot at Cal and a crowd shot in, you know, Knoxville or whatever. We have had that element to the introduction to the game, a tip of the cap to the fans. Yeah, I think it's going to be something generic. It's either going to be something generic like a map and a flag, you know, and Brutus and the Oregon Duck. And he's just sort of, I think that's what it's going to be. I think it's going to be that compilation image in the first year back, like a big the gang's all here kind of cover.
Final question. We've gotten this on our Discord. We've gotten this on Twitter. We've gotten this on email. People want to know, are you guys going to be in the game? Are you guys going to be involved in the game? Are we going to be involved in this game? We have no idea. We'd love to be. Okay. But
well, first of all, no matter what dynasty I create, I'm creating a Ty Hildenbrandt character.
Obviously. And I'm creating a Dan
Absolutely.
Rubenstein, for yes. sure. But that aside, ideal future state. We have some sway over the game, some ability to be in the game, be involved in the rollout. I don't know. What makes the most sense?
We influence the influencers.
How should we be influencing these influencers?
Well, you've seen previous video games utilize like fake Twitter feeds, not necessarily the NCAA series, but something like 2K. Be like, oh, J.E. Skeets loves what Bradley Beal's doing tonight. Just have that on one of the screens. I think he was involved. I think probably you, because you have the better voice. For us, because I think we should both be in the game. We have to be reacting to a team's dynasty, you know, creating a coach and weighing in with maybe 30-second sound bites about what the dynasty is doing. We could use proper names during this audition, like school names or whatever. And we could also just be generic with it so it could be used. We just have to come up with 1,000 or 2,000 different 30-second blip conversations that we could have.
Right. Right.
So I'm going to give you a scenario.
Okay.
That will happen during a dynasty. And I think you just need to react naturally that would make sense for a player to hear while they are navigating his or her dynasty.
Okay.
So the scenario is the coach, and it doesn't matter because you don't need to proper names, the coach of Arizona State has left Tempe for the Texas A&M job.
Okay.
I guess a Noel Mazone type.
Right.
does that connect correctly? Possibly. The head coach of ASU has left for Texas A&M.
Right.
And he is leaving behind the greatest recruiting class in Sun Devil history after leading ASU to a Rose Bowl win. Mm. And he is now moving on to Texas A&M coming off of a 3-9 season. What is your reaction within the game to get people excited for both leaving behind greatness and entering into a fix-it scenario at a bigger place?
We'd have to play this.
I'm spicy!
That's a spicy move, Dan.
It is a spicy move.
That's a spicy move. Bringing the Valley of the Sun across the Sun Belt and into College Station. That's a spicy... Let me play that again.
I'm spicy!
To bring that level of recruiting aptitude, of coaching skill, of influence to College Station? Are you kidding me? They haven't had that since the Mike Sherman days. Jimbo, can we use real names?
No, you can say generic things. Like, they haven't seen this level in quite some time.
They haven't seen this level in quite some time.
Yeah. I'd say something like, listen, folks, the SEC is a whole different ball game from what you can accomplish in the Valley of the Sun. We'll see how this guy stacks up against the heavyweights right there in the same division. This is a far trickier challenge given who he has to recruit against. But I think with the right staff and the right effort, he's up to the task.
He's bringing an aggressive attacking mentality on defense.
And he's really going to fool him on offense.
Looking for his Baker Mayfield type at...
No proper names. We're not positive.
Looking for his...
a game changer.
Playmaker at quarterback with an edge.
Aggie fans better hope he hits the recruiting trail early and often. He's got his work cut out for him.
Could we include a barb in there about A&M not playing Texas every year?
In-state recruiting going to be tough after three straight national championships from the Longhorns.
Yeah. Yeah. We got room to grow here. I'm excited. I want to be part of this. We want to be part of this.
But yeah. Oh, yeah. I think we would be terrific, Ty.
They're not going to call us. We know that. But
well, we'll see what we could always modify the game and offer a special edition solid verbal.
That's right.
Disc. You can use discs, but not everybody does. Is that how video games work now?
I don't think they're going to work that way on the new.
But you can get a PS5 with a disc slot.
I don't think it's to play games, though, is it?
Oh, is it just to watch Blu-rays or something?
Play Blu-rays, yeah.
Oh, okay.
But I don't know.
These are monster hard drives too, right? They're pushing a gig or a terabyte.
Oh yeah. 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 I haven't really looked into it yet, but now that I know this game's coming, I'm going to have to.
Is there anything else that has stood out to you about PS5 availability other than FIFA? Are there any other games?
I haven't looked into it.
Okay.
I haven't looked into it, but I will now.
SimCopter.
Did I tell you I downloaded Sim City a couple weeks ago?
What, like a newer version or 2000?
The latest version, whatever that was.
Oh, how is it?
I found it for like $8 online. Mm-hmm. It's really hard. I drove a city into the ground in like 2 hours.
There is a cottage industry of people who build intentionally terrible cities. I think in SimCity or something close to SimCity and post the video on YouTube. There's a guy on YouTube, his name is like still streaming or something like that. And he'll say, hey, I raised taxes to 100% to see what would happen to my city. And here's what happened. And it's great. It's hilarious. It's amazing.
Yeah. I'm not a great mayor, it turns out.
I think you should watch those videos on YouTube instead.
Right in, solidverbal@gmail.com. Let us know your thoughts. Verballers.com, it's where you can find our Patreon.
Gray still plays, G-R-A-Y, is the name of the ridiculous. I built a city with a 100% tax rate. I built a city with a 100,000% tax rate. I built a city with a 0% income tax rate, and this happened. It's an amazing channel.
Find us on social media. Let us know your thoughts.
Yeah.
EA Sports College Football.
I'm back, baby!
Coming back, we don't know when, but hopefully sooner than later.
That's Frankie C, right?
Frankie Stanza, baby.
Yeah, okay, great. Love it.
For that guy over there, my good friend Dan Rubenstein, for myself, Ty Hildebrand, thanks for tagging along with us. Stay safe, enjoy your weekend, and until next time, stay solid.
Peace! It's in the game.